The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, February 22nd, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our podcast and our live show. Regardless how you're listening to us, we're glad to have you here. Joining us here in the studio, pushing the buttons and flicking the knobs, is our own Ganja John.
I did that with my left hand. Did you see that?
Well done. Well done. We had a good time last night, Ganja John and I.
Yes, we did.
Oh, my goodness. We went to Helium Comedy Club here in Portland for the Doug Loves Movies podcast. That's Doug Benson with
TJ Miller
and a few other guys. We got some photos here that we'll show you right here at the top of the show. Why not? Let's get into the photos. Here we are, Doug Benson and myself and Ganja John outside of the Helium Comedy Club. Good time. Also, TJ Miller. Was there Ganja John with TJ right here? There he is, TJ Miller. What was he in?
How to Train Your Dragon.
That's right, How to Train Your Dragon. So,
and She's Out of My League. You guys should check it out.
That's right. We're gonna have a good time with that, and we're hoping to get Doug. He said he'd come on the show sometime soon, so we'll get Doug and TJ on the show sometime. It'll be a great show when we do. On today's show, we have got Electric Tuesday music coming up for you from Cannabis Cure UK. Some great techno house type music coming up, and at half past, we have an interview that we did yesterday in hour two that was so good, I wanted to bring it to hour one for the podcast listeners to listen to. So in our cannabis community, we're going to be talking with Henry Hemp, one of the co-owners of the 420 Football League, on some of the criticisms that Normal Advisory Board member Mitch Earlywine had about that league on this show last week. And it's a heck of an interview, so stay tuned for that at half past. And then at 45 past, we're going to do a radical rant. We're going to talk about the science behind marijuana, showing that it is safer than aspirin, coffee, and junk food. But before we go to all of that, we've got to get to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, and our own Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys. I'm glad you had fun last night. That looks like a great time.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that in hour two. And also, Cannabis Carrie, there was an announcement from one of our listeners out there. Arctic Bob said there's some committee hearing meeting for Washington's SB 5073 tomorrow. Can you give us some more details?
I haven't actually looked that up yet, Russ, but that is a medical marijuana bill. I think a companion bill to one of the others. So I'll look that up and get that information to you a little bit later.
Excellent. We've also got our hemp headlines here right after the first break. What's in the headlines today?
Well, we are keeping a close eye on what is going on in Montana. Of course, they're trying to vote to repeal their medical marijuana law altogether, so we're going to give you some updates on that. Also, we're going to go to California, where the IRS seems to be meddling in some medical marijuana industry businesses. And also, a lawyer in San Francisco has pledged to pull the mother of all lawsuits. We're going to talk about that as well.
Okay, great news coming up on today's show. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. You can check us out at our blog at stash.normal.org. And we'll be right back after this. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We have an update on House Bill 161 in Montana that would repeal Montana's medical marijuana law in its entirety. On Monday, the House, who had been hearing testimony on the controversial bill, voted in favor of repealing Montana's medical marijuana law in a final vote of 62-37. The vote was almost entirely split down party lines, with Republicans pushing for repeal and Democrats voting to leave the law alone. Montana voters passed the medical marijuana law initiative in their state in 2004 by a margin of 62% of voters in favor and 38% opposed. There are currently 28,000 cardholders in the state of Montana that would be affected by a repeal of the state recognizing medical marijuana. The bill now moves to the Senate. Now, in contrast, the Senate Judiciary Committee is planning to work on a committee bill to put a license and regulatory system in place for the medical marijuana industry in the state that would be paid for by licensing fees. Support for the repeal of the state's medical marijuana law in the Montana Senate is unknown at this time, but the support for the repeal among the population of Montana is getting more clear. Patients and Families United released a poll today that suggested that 3 out of 4 Montanans support either more strict regulation or no change at all to the existing law. Only 20% support the outright repeal of the program. The statewide poll conducted last weekend showed that 63% still support allowing medical marijuana, and of those, most would also like some stricter regulations. The telephone poll of over 2,200 Montanans was conducted by Public Policy Polling of Raleigh, North Carolina, for Patients and Families United. The poll margin of error is plus or minus 2.2%. With slightly more than 62% of the voters still supporting protecting medical marijuana patients, a number that is in line with the voters back in 2004. But the poll found that 76% of Montanans believe that the law should be left alone or have more added regulations. With that overwhelmingly high number, it remains unclear the outcome of a legislative repeal. Most can see that it would redefine thousands of patients in the state as criminals, a step backwards in fixing the problem.
Right. That's the thing, is the people of Montana, when they voted for medical marijuana with 62% of the vote, they were being compassionate. They did realize that marijuana is medicine. It does help people with cancer and AIDS and chronic spasticity or pain or nausea or any of the qualifying conditions that we have in Montana. They realize that medical marijuana is a good thing, and most of the people involved with it have the best intentions. What has happened in Montana is all of these abuses that have happened, is these activists or so-called activists that want to push the line so far to try to make a buck that the voters of Montana kind of feel like they've been hoodwinked, like they've been taken advantage of. They do still want to see people be patients and still see people legitimately getting medical marijuana to help them, but they don't want to see Skype video exams and pre-signed doctor forms and the feel that medical marijuana is just about legalization in their state. People don't realize that when we're talking about Montana, we're talking about generally a very conservative, rural, libertarian type of a place where people may not be ready for full legalization at this point. And it's just a shame that the Montana legislature wants to cut off its nose to spite its face here in this situation and just repeal the act entirely. What would happen in that scenario is you know that activists would come back trying to pass another medical marijuana initiative, one that might be better regulated or better spelled out. But in the interim, in the time from 2011 till whenever the next initiative gets voted on and passed and new law is put into place, we have designated 20,000 people as criminals. They're not going to stop using medical marijuana. They're not going to stop growing medical marijuana. And the places that have dispensaries, they're not going to stop selling medical marijuana. You're just going to fill up jails and prisons in the state of Montana. There's got to be a better way that the legislature can work together with the medical marijuana community, the legit community that really want to be responsible about this, to amend the law, to fix the law, rather than repealing it entirely.
On January 11th, the San Francisco Police Department conducted raids on six addresses simultaneously early in the morning. One of the homes that they entered just shortly after 7 a.m. was the home of Clark Freshman, a UC Hastings law professor and a police TV drama main consultant to the show Lie to Me. Freshman was put in handcuffs and had to sit uncomfortably on the floor while agents searched his home. During the search, Freshman continued to insist that they had the wrong address and that they were breaking the law, and he begged them to call the judge to get their warrant updated, but he reports that the police just laughed at him. The narcotics officer had permission from a judge to search the home to look for proceeds from an illegal marijuana growing operation. In the search warrant, an officer from a narcotics unit says that prior to the raid, he had spent 2 days casing the address looking for Freshman's landlord, Muhammad Larizada. Larizada also owns other property that he rents to a licensed medical marijuana patient who is now facing 3 felony charges for growing too much marijuana. But on the warrant, there is no mention of Larizada or his son-in-law or his 7 months pregnant daughter who were detained in the downstairs unit of the property that morning. The unit is a 3-story, 2-unit building, not a single household, a mistake that alone may be enough to invalidate a search warrant. In Freshman's unit, they found no marijuana and no piles of ill-gotten money. The police are only commenting that they did have a warrant to search the address. A Dean Emeritus from the Golden Gate University Law School says that in the past there have been cases like this, where police have a warrant to search a single residence, and when they arrive and they find it's a multi-unit building, they search the whole building. He says in those cases, the people searched have sued the city and won a settlement. For his part, Freshman has pledged to sue the DEA and the San Francisco Police Department for unlawful search and seizure of his home. He told the San Francisco Weekly that he had been on the fence for years about the legalization of drugs, but now that he has been a victim of the crazy war on drugs, he says he will sue with a vengeance to get it to stop. A furious Freshman has pledged to sue both of those agencies for unlawful search and seizure, and the law professor with ties to Hollywood says that there will not be a better litigated case this century.
All right. That's good to hear it. You know, oftentimes they raid the wrong homes, and we've told many, many of these stories, and the warrants are all sketchy. Let me just go right to the Constitution. This is your Fourth Amendment right. This is your right as an American citizen. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by an oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Particularly describing. That means if you're sending your officers to a 3-story house and it turns out to a 1-story house or whatever the difference is, that's not very particular. It's, you got to particularly describe what you're trying to raid, because we understood, and our founding fathers understood when they put this together, that we need to protect the citizenry from an unbridled and out of control authority figures that would break down people's homes, going fishing expeditions, trying to find criminals, trying to pad their arrest statistics, what have you. The Fourth Amendment is important, and I'm glad to see this law professor is going to be taking it to trial and maybe trying to do something about these unreasonable searches and seizures. We've got to end this, and the war on drugs is the biggest stain on the Bill of Rights of our Constitution of anything that has happened in American history. It's eviscerated our rights. It's attacked every single one of the Bill of Rights except for the Third Amendment about, you know, British soldiers being quartered in our houses and such. But we've got to end this, and good luck to Clark Freshman, the law professor from San Francisco. Go get him and litigate this case all the way to the end.
Now, it isn't a new weapon of the federal government, but it can be an effective one. The federal government's revenue service, the IRS, is auditing marijuana dispensaries in California. Since the sale of medical marijuana is legal under state law but illegal under federal law, cannabis collectives are saying they are being treated unfairly by the IRS. The code in question is Tax Code 280E that does not allow drug trafficking organizations to deduct business expenses. Steve D'Angelo of the Harborside Health Center, one of the largest marijuana dispensaries in the world, says that they handle $22 million in annual medical marijuana transactions. But now the IRS is auditing them for their 2008 and their 2009 federal tax returns for their Oakland location. Harborside operates for 70,000 medical marijuana patients and users. The IRS code that was passed during the Reagan administration was to keep drug dealers from making business deductions. It could cost Harborside millions of dollars in tax deductions for salaries, overhead, rent, computers, office equipment, and the expense of buying and selling medical cannabis. D'Angelo, Harborside's director, says that the IRS has been looking at their books for months now and has informed them that it is being audited for compliance with IRS code 280E. Harborside is lobbying Congress to change the code of dispensaries in the state where medical marijuana is legal, even though it remains illegal under federal law. D'Angelo says they are objecting to the law that was designed with cocaine kingpins that is now being applied to licensed medical cannabis businesses that are following state law. Attorney Henry Wykowski, who is representing various dispensaries that are currently being audited, said it is time for the law to be updated. He says that what California dispensaries are engaged in is not trafficking, but they are engaged in legal activities that benefit their patients. Harborside and other California dispensaries pay more than $100 million in state sales tax in addition to local fees. Harborside alone pays more than $2.3 million in annual state and local taxes, and they have never debated filing federal tax returns. D'Angelo says the whole idea behind Harborside is to be a model of legitimacy and transparency. Now, they will be in peril if the IRS rigidly enforces its tax code. Former Sacramento federal prosecutor Don Heller said that Harborside does have cause to worry. He said he is sure that the IRS will aggressively pursue it because under federal law, you cannot deduct something that is illegal. Several members of Congress have drafted a letter to the IRS asking it to allow dispensaries to deduct business expenses and not treat those organizations as drug traffickers. D'Angelo hopes that the IRS is making a good faith attempt to understand the new industry and to tax them like any other business would be taxed. He says he welcomes the audit because he feels it will help to advance the entire cannabis industry. Heller believes that the legal disputes over tax deductions for delivering medical marijuana may even reach the Supreme Court.
Well, good luck to Stevie D'Angelo and all the dispensaries fighting these tax charges, and it's a shame that the government would want to use the IRS to go after medical marijuana. I'm kind of surprised it took them this long, but again, good luck in their lawsuits. So a fourth story here for the news. Intuit, the financial software giant behind Quicken and QuickBooks, has revoked the merchant services account of one of our sponsors, Alternative Medical Choices Incorporated, a medical clinic that offers consultations with doctors for the approval of medicinal cannabis use under Oregon law. Intuit claims the service is, quote, an unacceptable business practice, end quote. Iva Cunningham, owner of AMC, says her company had been approved for use of Intuit's merchant services. The service allows the clinic to bill services by credit or debit card. The clinic had successfully billed for a number of appointments until yesterday when Intuit informed Mrs. Cunningham they were terminating the account because AMC is, quote, involved with medical marijuana, end quote. Mrs. Cunningham explained, quote, I told Intuit the only involvement with medical marijuana by our clinic is in reviewing patient records to qualify for medical cannabis use under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act. We don't dispense medical cannabis, and we never have medical cannabis on the premises. We're not only following Oregon state laws regarding medical marijuana, we're not breaking any federal laws, end quote, she said, referring to the United States Supreme Court's decision in Conant v. Walters that upheld a physician's right to recommend medicinal cannabis use to a patient. Intuit's decision to reject medical marijuana referral clinics is just one financial service that has refused to do business with legal businesses that aren't buying, selling, or growing cannabis. PayPal, the online payment service, dropped its accounts with the websites of California Normal and CelebStoner.com for accepting advertising from medicinal cannabis referral services. If you'd like more information on Intuit and get the address and phone number for their corporate headquarters to protest, you can find them at our blog at stash.normal.org.
I think it's time for a break.
It's time. We're a little late for our break. We got to get going.
We really do.
There's weed that needs to be smoked. We'll be back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Hey there, this is Cannabis Cure bringing you Normal Show Live's Electric Tuesday. The Daily Toker tune I'm playing for you is titled Ganja Massive. It's by Renard. I'd have to say Ganja Massive is a pretty brutal, non-stopping power driver of a track that is mainly hyped up drum and bass chord lining on some ragga. When I asked Renard what his views on cannabis were, he said, lol, I don't do drugs, but I don't have a problem with anyone doing them. You can find more tunes on Renard's Bandcamp site, which is lapfox.bandcamp.com. Pack another bowl, or light another joint, strap yourselves in for the ride. This one is going to be fast. This is kind of a secure for Normal Show Live. Peace out.
Want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit MedCanCup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, We are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
Welcome back, everyone. Half past the hour here, and on last week's show on our cannabis science segment, we had Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the show, and one of our listeners asked a question about the 420 Football League. This is a game that's been designed where the way you win is by holding in bong hits as long as you can, and every second you can hold in the smoke without coughing is equal to a yard of yardage gained in the football game. And one of the co-owners of this 420 Football League, Henry Hemp, posted on his Facebook page that he had some problems with this and said that Normal hates 420 Football League. So we thought we'd go straight to the source, our good friend Henry Hemp, who's joining us by telephone. Henry Hemp, welcome back to the show.
Well, happy hello to everybody from happy Hollywood.
Hey, how's Mrs. Hemp doing?
She's a little sick, under the weather, laying in bed. Appears she caught that flu thing that a few people got out in Vegas.
Oh, no.
That's like somebody said earlier today, the rumor is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but not a flu.
Not the flu. Well, we hope she gets well soon. Hey, you know, just last Wednesday, we had our Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine segment, and we had a person call in, or not call in, but write in with a question about 420 Football League, asking what the doctor thought about it, and I understood you wanted to come in and talk about it, so let's talk about it.
Yeah, somebody sent me an email, and I guess they were in the room, so this happens all the time, like when Diane Sawyer re-edited a video of what happened on Vegas about Henry Hemp trying some K2, they re-edited it as Henry Hemp was promoting K2, and that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. That was just actually the first time I tried it, and they videotaped it. Mm-hmm. So people will take things out of context, and Diane Sawyer has now removed that video because of what they did in the wrong. They misrepresented how the original video was. So I appreciate the opportunity to come on and say. Now, what somebody wrote me was that they don't like 420 football because we call it medical.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. And they think we should call it recreational. Well, let's see. It's a recreational game for medical marijuana patients. And why do we say it's a recreational game for medical marijuana patients? Because there's this law in place that anybody that uses cannabis, doesn't matter what reason they're using it for, recreational, sacrament, or whatever, you got to go under this medical law. I guess there's sacrament as well. But because of all the little loopholes and things we got to jump through to be able to do the things that we do to continue the growth and expanding of the minds for the universe, we go ahead and play along like everybody else. But I'm probably one of the most truthful, honest people that lays out all my cards and all my jokers at all times for all of you at all times. So at any point in time, y'all can hate and dislike whatever, but what are we doing? I had somebody who's a very good friend of mine who uses the what he calls the nail of death, but it's oil extract, a nail that you heat and you put your concentrate on, and it vaporizes the trichomes, what we call in 420 football a blitz. That's when you're hitting the oil. Now, he says that he gets about a four-hour window in the day when he actually gets to live life. And it's because of this that he does. And what brings him outside of the house to go beyond that is when he gets together and he comes, plays 420 football with us. One of our star players is somebody that has illnesses and stuff and that uses this to benefit his life, and it brings extra smiles and joy. Instead of somebody being in their wheelchair at home or in bed or whatever, we can even bring the game to their house. What are we doing? We're bringing fun environment. It's the beer pong for people to get together, but nobody will die. This will only improve and heal. And if somebody is so sick and they're going to die next week, instead of laying there in bed and doing nothing, wouldn't you rather have some friends with you around your last days of life and having fun and joy and laughter and that? Wouldn't you rather have that at the end of your days? So this isn't just for us recreational people that like to have fun, get together. We'd rather do this than drink alcohol. Oh, wait, is everybody still there? I'm on with
you. Yeah, we're here.
Oh, yeah, no, you're good, Henry. And, you know, I appreciate that you bring up that, you know, a recreational game for medical marijuana patients, because that was my issue. That was my only issue, is to call it a medical game would be bad, but that's that's, you know, I, maybe I'm hearing that secondhand from people. A recreational game for medical users is cool.
Yeah, people hear what they want to hear. We all, including myself, have selective hearing. I try really hard not to now. I try to listen to what everybody says and then kind of figure out what they're saying. And, you know, sometimes, and everybody that out there that speaks for this game and everybody involved in 420 football and all the medical patients or some of the potheads that support this game, not all of them can articulate a sentence and spit a game like I can. So some of them might occasionally forget a word or something as they're describing the game, and you might be able to misinterpret it in the wrong way. But I'm the spokesperson of this sport, and I'll tell you what this is. As of right now, by how the law laid out, this is a recreational game for medical marijuana patients. And you can come to our new home, our new lounge. It's the Exhale Lounge in the Valley in Van Nuys. We now, it's the home of 420 football. We help hold the game every Sunday. You can go there 7 days a week, and you can go in there, and what you do is you go in, pay like $5 to get in. You have to be a patient, and then you sit down, and there's a bar with different types of glass pieces and stuff for you to use your own medicine through. So it's like a bar where you go to and you bring your own alcohol. But, again, for medical marijuana patients, and we know it's full of fun and positivity because, you know, drinking tends to cause arguments and fights and stuff. So this is a place for those people to get together. And people that don't want to just sit and medicate at home, this is a safe place that people are allowed to medicate in. And that's what we're trying to create, is more and more lounges like this. You know, and I have a drink from time to time, so never think that I'm thinking alcohol is the devil. I think everything in moderation is okay for individuals that it works for them. I personally tend to not drink too much because I don't like how it makes me feel if I drink thought.
All right, well, let me address a couple points here, Henry. Before we go too far into this, I want to address a couple points, because my original point was calling it medical was the problem. If it's recreational, I'm cool with it. It's because, you know, like you said, beer pong. There's beer pong, there's quarters, there's all these kind of games out there. But where I think Dr. Earlywine was taking this was the fact that calling it, you know, the fact that it is a recreational game, we don't have, you know, the OxyContin Football League. We don't have the Vicodin Football League. We don't have the Aspirin Football League. So you're kind of blurring the lines of what's medical and what's recreational. And in the doctor's words, he said, when you're putting these kind of videos up on YouTube, you're not helping the movement because it confuses people's minds with regard to the distinction of medical and recreational. What's your response to that?
Well, that what they're saying, I'm not defending. I'm not defending the portion of the movement that they want me to defend. I'm actually a universal. So I have friends like Jeffrey Peterson. Him and his brother created a magazine called Sex, Buds, and Rock and Roll. That's about naked women and weed and partying and having fun. Life's the extreme. There's a whole portion of the world that is all about that. Does anybody watch TV and all the superstars and what they're involved in? Okay, so there's a portion of the world that supports that. Okay, then there's a proportion of people that support it just for sacrament, that you should only use the medicine just when you want to communicate with the higher power and you want to communicate with God. Then there are those that think, well, I only should use it when I come home and instead of having a beer, I take a little hit. Then there are those that think, well, you know what? I can't function at all unless I have I medicate in the morning. It eases all my pain. It takes away, motivates me, creates. So again, it's more about freedom of choice and everything. And if you want to put it up to the other things that are legal out there, this is something that is more beneficial than harmful. So again, anybody can try to poke any hole they want in the bubble of happiness that other people live in, and that seems to what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to worry so much what everybody else has been doing and stuff. If you don't like it, there's 9 billion other things that you can focus on and worry about. And I'm sure if you took that energy of not liking 420 football and you put it into things like what's going on with Egypt and Iran or the children or maybe the woman that doing 10 years for $32 worth of pot or something, crazy stuff. There's so much other things than this. Again, people just want to hate. It's personal choice. Do you know that scuba diving, that you...
Well, you know, I don't think anyone disagrees with the idea that, you know, you guys can play 420 football and have fun with it. And that's fine. And that's cool. Like I said, I don't have a problem with it being recreational.
Right. You guys are having a problem with it called medical. Right. We don't want to call it medical.
That's fine. So we agree there, but let's.
Does everybody hear that?
Yeah.
Henry Stemp says we call it medical because we have to call it medical. Like all of you that are medical marijuana patients that know you only went to that doctor straight up so you could use your medicine in the way that you use it. And it is medicine, but most of the people are really, it's their pot. It's their,
they like to get high.
Whatever word anybody wants to use, and all the words still to me means medicating because you're easing your pain, you're improving the quality of your life. I don't use aspirin. I don't, unless I have a toothache, but sometimes I seem to use aspirin. But everything else, it's like I use hemp boba. I use everything that's cannabis and hemp. And I did meth for 14 years. I got 10 months clean. And that's what cannabis does for me. Now I don't use the demon there that took me to the dark places. Now I use an herb that brings me to the love and light places.
Henry, that's all good. I mean, we're all on the same team with that. We completely agree with you, and we're all cool there. Let me take this to another point that got made in our interview when we talked about this. We've talked to Dr. Lewine many times about the possible harms from cannabis smoking, and really the only harm that exists is the harm that you get from the smoke, which is why we always recommend for people to use edibles and vaporizers and tinctures and things like that. So what do you think about, you know, you're saying you got these medical marijuana patients, but you're encouraging them not only to use marijuana in the most harmful way possible by smoking it, but also to hold those hits as long as possible, which even increases the harm.
I'm encouraging people to play a game that they want to have fun, and there are things that are involved. It's a personal choice. Most of the people that are complaining, honestly, can't step up and play the game anyway. You couldn't qualify. You couldn't do run down the field. You'd cop every single time. So the people that they're complaining about and us looking out for are not people that would be able to play the game anyway. Just like a football player, if his leg is broke, he can't go out and play. Or if he has asthma, most football players don't have asthma. Most people that are high divers don't have fear of heights. I hope you understand where I'm going with this. It's basically the points that you're pulling up are for people that wouldn't play anyway. So again, it's just arguments to poke holes in the happiness. And I appreciate everybody. You got to have a little controversy and stuff. That's what makes it so awesome.
Okay, so taking on the harm of, you know, holding the hits long and smoking in general is again a choice issue like an offensive lineman.
And I want to know
Henry, let me finish making my point here. Is that it's analogous to a NFL football lineman who we know in the NFL, people who play the offensive line position, their average life expectancy is like, you know, 45, 55 years old. So if they have the freedom to choose to be a lineman and risk their life like that, why not the freedom to choose to be a 420 football league player and maybe risk their lungs? Is that kind of, am I summarizing it?
How many people have died in the history of NFL?
Oh, there's quite a few.
Right? How many people in recorded history have died of the use of cannabis?
Zero. But I don't know that makes the point until there's enough
research. And unfortunately, for many years, it was illegal. You weren't allowed to do research on cannabis unless it was to make it look bad.
Sure, but Henry, can you at least agree with the scientific fact that smoking is more harmful than vaporizing?
Well, of course. Well,
okay.
To me, that's common sense. You guys go back on Facebook 2 days ago, and I said, I thank the universe for blessing the common sense. I wonder why you didn't bless everybody with that ability. But hey, I'm thankful you gave me common sense. Again, people that want it, again, it's just, that's obvious. Do I have to repeat that all that? You guys say that repeatedly, and I've never disputed that enough.
Right.
That you need to smoke it because it...
Oh, I thought everybody knew that. I'm sorry. I forgot to stipulate.
No. I'm
pretty sure I have a video out of the 97 videos on YouTube. I'm pretty sure somewhere I talked about that vaporizing is the cleanest way, and you should probably use like your essential vape. And I mean, I have friends that have all these things, the ones that have ones that I believe in, and I know they're beneficial for patients and the people I support.
Okay, so it's your opinion then that 420 Football League isn't harming the movement and isn't blurring the lines of medical and recreational.
Depends who you talk to. I think Normal hurts the mission. I think Acer hurts the mission. I think Henry Hemp Hat hurts the mission. I think, well, I don't. I think everybody benefits it. But I believe there are those in the community that for some reason their own pride and egos or personal issues or whatever makes them create this controversy with other movements in there and creating division. It's almost like religion. Religion, they all believe in the higher power of God or whatever, but somewhere in there it's mixed up of man's, and it divides. It's divided the world. We're fighting. It's wars and shit all over because everybody, and it's all over God. So here we have a plant. Everybody wants the freedom of this plant, but they all wanted free in their version of what freedom should be. Mm-hmm. So that, it's just more and more conscious. It's humanity. It's just, you know, one day either the aliens are going to come down and enlighten us or blow us up, and I don't know.
Well, you know,
I think
420 Football League could be a lot of fun. And again, as long as we both agree, it's not a medical thing; it's a recreational thing. So let me end with one last question here. We kind of got to that point where we said, you know,
it's a recreational game for medical marijuana patients.
Yes. We completely agree on that. So tell me, we could have changed that to make it a recreational game for all people by passing Prop 19. How did you vote on Prop 19?
I didn't vote.
Okay. Thanks, Henry Hemp, for joining us here at Normal Show Live. We'll see you at the next event, and good luck with the 420 Football League.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is a entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
Marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at norml.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
One of the themes we've been playing in the marijuana reform movement for a couple years now is the theme that marijuana is safer than alcohol. In fact, we go back to 2006 and the forming of the Safer Alternatives for Enjoyable Recreation. Mason Tvert has kind of pioneered that sentence. You know, marijuana is safer than alcohol. He co-authored a book with our own Paul Armentano and MPP Steve Fox called Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? And it's a point that we've been making for a long time. Marijuana is objectively legally safer than alcohol. But the point that I want to make for today is that not only is marijuana safer than alcohol, marijuana is safer than a lot of the over-the-counter medications that we freely use, including aspirin and other NSAIDs. It's also safer than some of the recreational stimulants we use, like coffee or Red Bull. And it's even a whole lot safer than what most of us, including myself, unfortunately, consume as food every day, the junk food that we consume. That's right, marijuana is safer than aspirin, coffee, and junk food, and I have the science to prove it. The first thing I'd like to show you here is, this is coming from the upcoming Normal's big book on marijuana statistics, and that is something known as the therapeutic ratio of popular substances. And for those of you on the screen checking out the webcam, you can follow along. The therapeutic ratio of popular substances, and what that has to do with is two measurements that scientists, pharmacologists use to measure a drug. One is called the ED50. That's the effective dose that will work for 50% of the population. The lethal dose is the amount that will kill 50% of the population. And then this is in reference to laboratory animals, for example. So if you had an effective dose that was an ED50 of 10 grams, then 10 grams would work on at least half of that test rat population. And then if you had a lethal dose of 50 grams, that would kill half of that rat population, right? So it's just a measurement. And the therapeutic ratio just kind of tells us how safe a particular substance is compared to how much you need to use in order to get a particular effect. For example, alcohol has a therapeutic ratio of 1 to 10. And so what a 1 to 10 ratio means is that if it takes 2 shots to get you drunk, 20 shots could kill you. And this is just a common way of comparing the toxicity of various drugs. Now, I also wanted to compare this based on the different schedules of drugs that we have, and I've color-coded them. The green drugs that you'll find in this graph we're about to show you are the drugs that are legal over-the-counter. That is, as long as you're an adult, you can go buy these things. There's no restrictions. You don't have to have doctor's permission or anything. Then, in yellow, we'll show the Schedule 4 and 5 drugs. These are on the DEA's drug scheduling schedule, and 4 and 5 are the types of drugs that are prescribable anywhere in the United States by any doctor, and they have a low risk of danger or addictiveness or side effects. So Schedule 4 and 5 drugs, you'll see those in yellow. Schedule 2 and 3 drugs are also legal drugs, but they are considered to be dangerous. You'll find these in orange on our chart. They're prescribable everywhere in the United States, but they're still considered quite dangerous and possibly addictive. And then that we have Schedule 1 at the bottom here in red. Those are the drugs that are illegal and dangerous in all circumstances. There is, federally speaking, no recognized medical use for these particular types of drugs. So let's take a look at these drugs. We'll go down here and we'll start down here at the bottom. What you'll see is a chart that shows you the drugs between those that are very non-toxic toward the far left end of the graph. And as we move farther to the right, the drugs get more and more toxic until they're approaching poison. Something that is poison would have a therapeutic ratio of 1 to 1. That is, its effective dose kills you. So as we look, we can see a couple of drugs here that are colored red. We know those are Schedule 1 drugs. Let's take a look here. Heroin. We have the drug heroin, which is measured here at a 1 to 6 therapeutic ratio. One hit of heroin, one unit of heroin gets you high, 6 units could kill you. And then at the 1 to 8 ratio here, GHB, a very powerful type of tranquilizer drug. And this is something you'd expect, right? We told you Schedule 1 drugs are illegal and dangerous. And so with ratios like 1 to 8 and 1 to 6, that's a very dangerous possibility there. So of course those drugs should be Schedule 1. But then there's a surprise as we move up this chart. We see 3 drugs that are over the counter, that are very, very dangerous drugs. Isobutyl nitrate or amyl nitrate and its other types of nitrates are also known as poppers in the club scene. They're kind of a muscle relaxant. Alcohol, of course, we all know what ethyl alcohol is all about. And dextromethorphan or the Tussin, the Robitussin, like our Ganja John was on just the other week.
Yeah, I know that stuff.
John knows about the Tussin. These are all green. These are all unscheduled, legal, over-the-counter drugs. Now check out the therapeutic ratios on these. We've got a 1 to 8 ratio for the isobutyl nitrate, the same ratio as a Schedule 1 GHB, 1 to 8. Alcohol, 1 to 10, and dextromethorphan, or the Robitussin, 1 to 10 as well. Perfectly legal for anyone to buy over the counter. Now, as we move up the chart, we get some drugs that are in Schedule 2. We get methamphetamine and cocaine. That's right. They're orange. They're not illegal. Methamphetamine and cocaine are actually prescribable drugs in the United States by any doctor or, in many cases, dentists in the United States. John, your dad could probably...
He's got a fridge full of it.
Yeah, could prescribe medical cocaine. They have cocaine for an anesthetic in many dental surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
Methamphetamine is also used in many different forms, and these have extremely high ratios. Again, a 1 to 10 ratio for meth, the same as alcohol, but a 1 to 15 ratio for cocaine. That's right. You're less likely to overdose on cocaine compared to its effective dose than you are from alcohol. Now, as we move up the chart, we get some more dangerous drugs. MDMA, that's ecstasy, folks. Ecstasy, less dangerous than cocaine, 1 to 16 ratio. And a recent study just came out, I saw the news on this, that showed that ecstasy does not have any long-term cognitive effects or effects on the brain. As we move up, more Schedule II drugs, codeine, methadone, both a 1 to 20 ratio, so safer than a lot of the drugs, twice as safe as alcohol, codeine and methadone, but still Schedule II. You need to get a doctor's prescription. Tobacco, of course, is an over-the-counter drug, although it's very rarely referenced as a drug, but that's exactly what it is. Tobacco is a 1 to 21 ratio. That's actually for the nicotine in the tobacco is a 1 to 21 ratio for overdose. Mescaline. Mescaline, of course, from the cactus. It's a very potent hallucinogen. It's a 1 to 24 ratio. Rohypnol, 1 to 30. It's Schedule 4. Those are roofies, by the way. 1 to 30 roofies are safer than considered Schedule 4, Schedule 5 drug. Ketamine, a type of horse tranquilizer, a 1 to 38. Caffeine that we get from our Red Bulls and from our colas and coffees, 1 to 50 ratio in its therapeutic ratio. DMT, 1 to 50. Phenobarbital, 1 to 50. Prozac, 1 to 100. Nitrous oxide, 1 to 150. Aspirin, 1 to 199. LSD, 1 to 1,000. Psilocybin, 1 to 1,000. And the final drug we have on our chart of therapeutic ratios of popular substances, good old cannabis, with a 1 to 20,000 ratio, which is a bit of a misnomer, actually, because cannabis's therapeutic ratio is almost impossible to calculate in that it is so non-toxic to humans. As we look at other science, we have a chart on the addictive effect of popular substances. Just how addictive are these drugs? And when we measure these drugs on measurements of dependence, withdrawal, tolerance, reinforcement, and intoxication, we can see these scheduled on a scale of 1 to 6, where 1 is the least serious and 6 is the most serious. You can see that nicotine, heroin, cocaine and alcohol rank very high, anywhere from threes to sixes in all of these addictive qualities. When we move on to caffeine, we find it's very low in addictive qualities, ones and twos in the chart. And so is cannabis. Cannabis rates a number one in three categories, a number two in one category, and the only category where it even approaches any other drug like alcohol is in the intoxicating factor. As far as reinforcement, tolerance, withdrawal, and dependence, it's much like caffeine. The other measure we can see to see how safe is a drug is how many people are dying from it. Here's a chart of the annual deaths from popular substances. That many people have probably seen this from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Cannabis with zero direct results of death. That's right. Cannabis kills nobody, whereas aspirin and other pain relievers, 7,600 deaths. All illegal drugs combined, 17,000 deaths. All prescription drugs, 32,000 deaths per year. Alcohol, 85,000 deaths, and of course tobacco, all the way across the board here, with 435,000 directly attributable deaths due to smoking every year in America. And our final bit of science from the National Institutes on Drug Abuse, just how likely are you to become dependent on using a certain drug? How likely are you to become addicted? 32% of first-time tobacco users end up having a serious dependence, 23% of all heroin users, 15% of all alcohol users, and but 9% of cannabis users ever develop a clinical dependence on the use of cannabis. So as you can see from the science and from our graphs here, we have all of the evidence we need to show that marijuana is not just safer than alcohol, it's safer than aspirin, coffee, and junk food. One of the things that wasn't on the chart, junk food kills somewhere around 300,000 people per year due to poor diet and lack of exercise. So the science is in. It's time to reschedule cannabis, not not a Schedule 2 or Schedule 3, but to take it completely off the drug schedules altogether. Make it one of those green drugs like alcohol or tobacco. Regulate it. Put age limits on it. Put quality controls on it. Restrict where it can be bought and sold and at what times and to whom. It is such an easy solution. We can all see it. It's just that our government needs a little pushing. So you can get involved. Join Normal at normal.org. We'll continue to make your voice heard to our elected officials at the state and the federal level, and we will end this marijuana prohibition. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Rust for Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John. We'll see you tomorrow with more news interviews that you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.